Hello, hello everyone, and welcome to the most conquered podcast in the world, House of Games. Today, I'm joined by my fierce host, Odo the Great, and a very handy guest located on the other side of the pond, eastwards for me, westwards for Odo, Senorita Sara. But before I let you flap your wings, let us ambush the door and enter this week's episode of House of Games. Welcome everyone to this week's episode of House of Games. Today we have another special guest with us. As many previous times, we have a game that we've tried out and we're just going to give you our opinions about it. Our guest this week is also involved in the production of this game. So I think without further ado, Sara, would you like to introduce yourself and tell us who you are and what you do?
All right. So first of all, thank you for having me. My name is Sarah, and I'm located right now at the other side of the world in Mexico. And yeah, I'm part of this company called Bright Gambit. They basically support indie games all around the world. And one of the amazing games we got called Super Adventure Hand. So before I go to talk about the game, I'm going to talk a little bit about myself. I actually studied animation and game design. I was very passionate about it. It was very hard to find. It's like a very hard thing to find a job related to video games in Mexico. So I decided to study animation. Easier to get a job in animation too, but you know. And like I have the luck in the pandemic to get a job working part-time in a company here in Mexico about video games. And basically 1 year later, I got recommended to work at Bright Gambit. And all like my, basically I had to have many hats. I am like community manager, social media manager, project manager, game tester. Like I do many things that I really love. Sometimes I happen to do illustration and all of that, video editing, PR. But yeah, like that's basically what I do. I'm someone who helps around in the company and makes sure that the games get out there and people get to know them and all of that. Being like in events and on amazing podcasts like this one. So yeah,
yes.
We're very happy to have you.
Thank you.
You know, that's a lot of hats to have for one person. So could you just give us a helicopter view of what does a normal work day or perhaps a work week look like for you? What specifically do you do to help these games get out there?
So basically it depends if we already have a release coming. In the last few months, we had release after release after release, like no stop. So basically I start the day and I have meetings, seeing that I'm in the other side of the world and the company I work with is in Sweden. That makes me happen to wake up very early at 6, 7 a.m. and like have like the meetings. And then I can finally like start really working on the morning, afternoon, and all of that. And basically, I just go on Trello and I make a list of stuff I need to publish on both our personal social media and on the social media of other developers if they need it. I create the content. I go around in the chats in Slack to ask the developers what do they need. I answer questions. Basically, I'm like an assistant, if you could put it like that. Like I go around seeing what it needs to be done and when it needs to be done. So for Super Adventure Hand, it only had one developer who made the whole game. We're going to talk about him in a moment. So basically, I have to be like behind him, constantly like nagging him. That was my duty, being constantly behind. Like, hey, have you already done this? Like, do you need help with this? I can help you out. Like the whole time. And like making TikToks and making posts and community challenges and streaming and finding events to put the game on it, all of that. So I'm pretty much a nag.
How wearing many hats, as Oda pointed out, or and you as well, how big is the studio you're working for? And you said there's one guy making this particular game.
Yeah.
So is Bright Gambit like a, I don't know, like an umbrella corporation, and then you have a bunch of studios underneath it and you help all of them, or?
Yeah.
How, okay.
people get confused and think we are a publisher because it's like a very similar relationship. Basically, we are a small company. We're around 10 people. And we get games submitted for, you know, if they need funding or marketing services or all of that. And if we accept and we make a contract and all of that, I get in contact with the company of that game. So maybe it's like one guy making a game. Maybe it's a company of 5 people. Maybe it's a company of 10 people. But they're a whole different entity. Like, they can be like, no, like, we do our marketing, we do our social media, don't worry about it. And it's like, okay. And some other times it's like, I just made this game, I don't know what's next. Like, I just want to put it out there. So that's where we go. So you're going to see, like, in the games, like, our name and the name of a studio, if they are self-publishing.
I see.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah, it does sound like a publisher, but not quite the same.
Yeah, it's like a supporter more than a publisher.
So you support with social media stuff, with fundings, salaries to those studios, for example?
The primary thing we do is funding. People submit their game and like their pitch deck and all of that and how much money they need. And that's where the dealing begins. And besides that, that's like the prominent thing they come for us. But besides that, we just don't want to do like, okay, just take the money and bye-bye. We want to do a little bit more in the human sense of we want this to work. We want this game to come out there. We want to support indie games because it's getting really hard out there. It's a lot of competition. It's very hard to put your game out there. So we basically have the knowledge, the experience. My boss have worked at Xbox, at their own studios, all of that. So they support in that way, in a sense of literally coming and being like, what do you need? Oh, you know, I don't know how to submit myself to these events, to the Steam Next Fest, I don't know how to speak to Nintendo. I don't know how to, we'll take care of it. It's really like a supporting thing of what do you need? This, okay, we'll make it happen. And in that sense.
So Bright Gambit, that's a Swedish company or?
It's Swedish.
Okay. The game we play, the Super Adventure Hand, is that also made Swedish. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. It's a coincidence, actually. We have games in Mexico, from Russia, we had one. Yeah, like, they're from...
And so you work remote, or is there some studio in Mexico as well, from Bright Gambit?
I actually take a train every day to Sweden, and I come back. I know, I work remotely.
But there's no minor team in Mexico?
No.
So you're on your own over there.
They found me because I used to work at this studio that I mentioned before. It's called Ogre Pixel. And they made a game they supported. So that's how they met me. And after the project was done and we were all going to be let go, they pretty much reached out to the creator of the game. And they were like, hey, can we take Sarah with us? And he was like, yeah, sure, talk to her. And that happened. But I have always worked remotely, actually, even in Mexico because of the pandemic. So I have always worked remotely.
Yeah, right.
Wow. How young are you?
I'm 25.
So yeah, you don't have much office experience before the pandemic, I suppose. This is your world, working remotely.
Yeah, I started working while I was studying. Yeah, I did my practices online. I did my work, my first job online, and my second job online. That's the world I got, but I'm very happy with it, honestly. I like to talk to people around the world, and maybe one day I can move there. But yeah, like, I'm very happy because of that, because I don't know. I like to work remotely. I don't mind. I don't have a car, so it's very convenient for me.
Cool.
So Bright Gambit, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds a lot similar to Cold Pixel that we interviewed previously on the show. So what they do is some sort of, for example, they do marketing or they help with getting the game out to like a go-to-market strategy or whatever the developer needs. And then they do some sort of either revenue share or you pay per hour or however you want to do it. So basically sort of the same as a publisher will do, except there's no, like, you don't own the game in the same way that a publisher would, for example.
Yeah, pretty much. The details, honestly, I don't exactly know them, but I know that it's like a different relationship. Like, there's like supporting thing, and also in terms of funding and all of that is different too, because what by experience, I just know that publishers, they give a lot of money. Sometimes they are like, okay, here's like all the money you need for the game, but like 90% of it is ours. Like, these things I have heard.
Yeah.
In Bright Gaming, like, the main like phrase about Bright Gaming is a supportive initiative. So it's pretty much that, like, maybe it's not like the biggest amount, like a publisher will do, but the point is, like, we are not interested on like owning your game, in the sense of, okay, now the name is ours. It's not, it's just like, you do your thing, we're going to support you, and then there's like a revenue share and all of that. But yeah, we just want the game to happen, pretty much. Cool. And if you want to have your own stuff, you want to have even your publisher, you can have your publisher. And yeah, you can do your own thing. You want to have a Kickstarter, go for it too.
It sounds more like risk capital investor. I mean, the point is to make money in the end for Bright Gambit. So yeah, you give me money, and then I finish up my stuff, and then the game comes out, and then you get your money back plus some. Or
yeah, pretty much.
A revenue share for the end of days or whatever the deal may be.
Mm-hmm.
Soka.
Cool.
I do have one more question about, you sort of said you help with social media and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I wonder, like, I'm someone who might want to explore this way of releasing my next game, to have like some sort of help with, well, for example, what you guys are doing sounds about what I would like. But the one thing I hate the most is the social media part, being online and pretty much talking to anyone online. So how often, let's just role play that you would help me with marketing. How often would you bother me? Like, hey, Rune, I need some more screenshots. Rune, I was thinking we should show this and this and this. Like, can you share me some screenshots? Like, how often would I have to send you shit? Or can you do that yourself?
Basically, what I like to do is to not bother the developer the most that I can. So what I do is that I get like a copy of the game or the demo, and I get all the stuff myself. Like, I get like the screenshots and the video and all of that, and I do the whole editing. Maybe if I need something very specific, I will ask for it. But with like Super Adventure Hand, if you go to the Bright Gambit TikTok, that is my pride and share of like, we went from an account that had 12 followers to 10K. And wow. Like, yes, people really like feet. So maybe that helped, because in the game there's feet. So the TikTok where we show feet has 5.2 million views. So maybe that's
holy
something.
Shit.
Yeah. So
10,000 feet fetish followers.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean,
everyone in the world is just following that account.
Yeah, for me it's like the best. For me it's like, oh, go for it. Yeah, basically what I do with the developers is I just appear like once a week or twice a week, and I'm like, hey, here's like the list of ideas I have for social media, and I already have their like the asset done, and I'm like, do you like it? Do you want me to change the copy? Do you want me to like change the edit, the song, something? Because I don't want to post something that you won't like. I don't post anything if you don't approve it first. Just in case. Okay. And yeah, you just have to be like, yeah, I like it, change this copy, bye. Okay. And that's it. That's pretty
interesting.
Much it.
I gotta ask this too. I remember during the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 era, a lot of the CEOs and like Shuhei Yoshida and was it Phil Spencer back then or someone else from Xbox? They were sort of out there going to podcasts, talking to people and so on and so on. And that sort of toned down this generation. And a lot of people wonder, like, why would that be? And I always think, like, well, we're living in a climate where you say one mistake or you make one mistake, and that really ruins your reputation and, for some reason, the company's reputation, as if a person working for a company represents the entire company. It makes no sense, but that's the world we're living in. So my question is now, How much of that do you keep in mind when you make these social media posts? Or if I say this, maybe someone thinks I'm being whatever. Like when I post my stuff, the little I do, I just write, I'm so shit at this. I just write stuff and then I post it. And then after a while, I can be like, huh, that could totally be misinterpreted because I use this word instead of that word and so on. So yeah, my question is, how much of that do you think about? And have it ever backfired that you posted just by using the wrong word, basically?
I think the only time I screwed up, and it was not really a screwed up, it was just an oopsie, I misgendered someone from my game we support. It's a little donkey from A Tiny Sticker Tale. It's actually a day. However, it's the main character, but like there's like no really a way to tell. So I tend to just call him he, and sometimes I'll like go like, oh sorry, day, sorry. But nothing like big happened. It's just remember, and like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I do keep that in mind, especially I try to avoid very delicate topics. Like when the whole war thing happened in Ukraine and all of that, I recommend that, like, we have a game that the developer was Russian and was against the war, but like it was very delicate because I screwed up there. They were like, I want to make a statement, and we were like, okay, you need to be very careful in that sense, because sometimes people can be like, your game, you're Russian, and even though you are not, like, you don't like this word, people are going to be like, you're Russian, we don't want anything to do with you. So when there's like very delicate topics, I do ask for like the team to like back me up in something. I go like, I'm going to post this. Is this all right? The words are all right. Yeah. How do you feel it? But honestly, with the games that I have worked with, I never had a really big scare. I'm also active in social media, like by myself, and I have like a YouTube channel, so I also like I'm careful there. But to be honest, I feel that I never really had to like be super careful in the sense, because I don't know, like I don't know how to explain it, but I'm not a very controversial person. I'm very political correct.
I see. Okay, cool. Yeah, my follow-up question would be, do you think you have it naturally? But if you are a very non-controversial person, then it just comes naturally, I suppose.
I think is that I naturally like stuff. And if I don't like it, I have always find a really good way to say that I don't like something. So maybe it's that. And if I make a mistake, like the pronounced mistake, I always go like, oh, sorry, I messed up. And I correct it. And that's it. So I gotta say that I never had a problem. Never. That I remember. I almost like, oh yeah, screwed up, sorry. And I move on.
Yeah, good. So I'm two questions that I think is really interesting to related to just marketing and social media before we move on to the actual game that we're going to talk about. So first of all, I'm curious. I've seen some of your stuff, I think, on Reddit, and it's really high quality and engaging, and you get a sense for the game quite right away, so to speak. So what would you say, first of all, is like what do people like to see on social media? Like what do you want to post to? You said you got the TikTok followers, like 10,000 followers. So what do you post, or what do people want to engage with to, you know, keep following you and get attention? And then the second part of that question is, what then do you do with all that attention? How do you convert that into sales if possible, or what can you do with all of that attention?
Okay, so that's a very good question. For me, like the funnest part of like doing marketing on social media and all of that and creative content is to trying to know which, like, who is your audience. So when you're like working with these very fun games, because of course when I started like Bright Gambit, my first project was Super Adventure Hand, and I was like, well, how am I going to market a hand? because my background was like this little cute coyote from Lonesome Village that is like a game about like Zelda Animal Crossing style. And we had like an animator on board, and like we had a lot of ideas, and like the ideas came like that. And then we were like, okay, what are we going to do with hand? And so basically the ideas come in the sense of trying to know, I mean, for me, the easy way to go is to do something interesting or funny. So I started with funny things. Like I started to go to trending things and like using like fun audios on like trending songs, all of that. And the first thing that I did, it was an animation of the hand as the hand of the Addams Family. Actually, I'm going to repost it tomorrow because of Halloween. But like the first thing is an animation of the hand, like dancing as the Wednesday hand, because the show was very popular. And basically it went from there, just using like audios of people talking, or like, what's your name? Tony. Fuck you, Tony. But with the hands. And it's very, very funny. So that's challenging, because with some games I had it, like if your game is very serious, it's not going to work doing funny stuff. So you just have to go to the interesting parts of it that I honestly have to say I still struggle. Like there's a game that we have that I still struggle to market because it's an amazing game, but it's a very like serious topic game. So sometimes it's like, I don't know how to like put this amazing game out there and people know about this amazing game without spoiling too much. So I think like the most challenging but like the funnest part for me is trying to figure out what type of people will like this type of content and how to communicate with them. That's the answer of the first question. The second question, what was it? How do I transfer it to money?
Yes, exactly. How do you convert it, or what do you do with the attention when you have it?
So that's the worst part. Like, that's the part that I don't like. Because at least by experience, not like it's really great when like something goes viral, because you can see the wish list going up. You can actually like track it because you can put like a link to the wish list, but it's many steps. So from making a video, it has to go viral, and to get viral, it has to do like people go to wishlist the game, and then from the wishlist the game, they have to actually buy the game. And a lot of people get behind in that process. So what I have seen, and I'm still like learning, I feel that I still need to learn to answer like better that question, because I still ask myself that, is that the best that we can do is get the game exposure, so like we can get people interested in the game. And that's the better way to go, is with events and like this, like podcasts and all of that. Because the bad thing about like social media is that, oh my god, like my video got like 5.4 million views, and that's amazing and that's huge and that's great. But for other people, it's like they saw the video, they laughed, they like it, and that's it, and it left their mind. And that's it. Like, it's not necessarily sale. So that's something I had to learn in the bad way. It was like, maybe some people just going to like the video. And with the game we had, Lonesome Village, we had these amazing animations. And like, I feel like it made people really like the coyote. But I remember my boss telling me, like, you have to make more videos and post about this is a game, because people are liking the animations, but they're not quite understanding this is a game, and we are interested in people knowing that this is a game that they can play and they can buy. So I was like, oh yeah, that's true. So that's the hard part that I don't know if I can quite answer, because I'm still learning and I'm still trying to learn. The best way is to just go out there and make people get interested in their game, in your game. So that's without the competition that it's out there, you have to be more than funny or like views and all of that. You have to be like a very interesting game so people want to buy it.
And on that note, I think we can just start talking about specifically Super Adventure Hand that we have tried out, me and Rune. So as the community manager, would you like to give the elevator pitch for the game? What is it and what makes it unique?
Okay.
Would you say?
So Super Adventure Hand is a game where basically, as the name implies, you're a hand. And if you have seen the cutscene at the beginning of the story, the feet stole your arm and you're in this like adventurous quest to get it back. It's a very simple plot, but I think it does the trick because basically it's a fun game. Like I love adventure story-driven games, but this game is like pure platforming fun. And it's basically that. You're a hand and you're trying to get your arm back and you have to go through obstacles and trying to get to the end of the level, like a Mario 2D type of game, and defeat like the feat and like all of that. So what will make it unique is not only the whole concept that is actually pretty funny, but the physics in the game are very interesting. The way the hand moves, it's like a spider. So it actually like has these specific physics where the hand can actually like crawl upwards and like move like a spider and has like sense of stickiness to it. It can like do this. It can like drag stuff, drag keys, pull levels. It can like give the finger and all of that. It can like grab fire. The way it moves, I think, is the one thing that makes it the most interesting. I'll believe that.
Rune, so what would you say is your impressions from having played it? And what do you think about it?
Well, I wrote a couple of things. Like, one of the first things I noticed was the achievement list in the start menu. Mm-hmm. And that made me think that there's like a little bit of a trophy whoreness going on here. And I'm all for that. So I appreciate that. That was neat. Direct access to that from the start menu. Another thing you pointed out already, this beautiful animation in the beginning of the game. So I love stories in games, even in games where the story really doesn't matter, I still think there is something neat to it. It left a really good impression from the get-go, and I felt like the quality, it sort of rose the quality for the entire game, which later I have like a beef with. But I'm curious though, who made that animation and why, like, that must have cost loads. If this is made by one guy, this game, did he make it himself or is it outsourced?
It's outsourced. So the whole game was made by this one person, but the animation at the beginning. The animation was made by a studio called Brick. Very talented people. It was completely 2D animated. And they actually did the animation like record time. They had it like in less than 2 months. It was very impressive, the storyboard and all of that. It's really amazing. And they did a really good job with the pitch we gave them. It's like, okay, we're going to have a hand and then a bunch of feet are going to like gang up and beat him up and they're going to take their hand, their arm. Like, can you do that? And they were like, sure. And it's gorgeous, the animation.
Yeah, yeah, so I was very impressed with it.
Yeah, besides that, like the in-game animation and the musical of that is more like from Jan Rigel. I'm sorry if I mispronounce. I always, they're like Swedish names. I'm always like trying to not say last names because it's like, oh my God. But yeah, that's the thing.
No, that was very impressive. And I just can't believe it's made by one person. Oh, do you have anything?
Yeah, absolutely. So I mean, first of all, it's a really unique concept for a game. I mean, in one way, it's very unique and in another way, it's really smart to have something like a hand walking around and that's the gameplay, because then you can describe it as the thing. Is it called the thing from the Addams Family?
Mm-hmm.
Which is what it reminds me a lot of. So kudos to the creator for a smart concept. And, you know, it's sort of, you know, like walking around with your hand on a table, it's something like everyone has done as a child or just being bored or whatever. So the concept is easy to understand how the platforming works and how the gameplay works. So getting into it, I thought it was really intuitive and good level design. It was, I like that you can customize the hand and that you can put rings and watches and all kinds of things on it. I also noticed that the walk animation for the hand seems to be procedural, which means that the fingers find their way to where the different surfaces are. So if you're walking on an edge or if you're walking on top of an object or anything, it looks like the hand is actually reacting to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also very like attention to detail, and it feels like it's an actual hand rather than just a statically animated object. So really, really good,
yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say also like the level design made it, it's sort of an addicting game to play, I would say. So it's really, it's easy to pick up and play, and you really get into it. The levels are sort of short and a good like tutorial, and then stepping up the difficulty and the concepts and puzzles and everything.
Yeah, it's what I believe is not only this game, besides of the level design, all of that, I think it's a game that is really well for speedrunning. We would love to actually see if we can manage to like submit it to a speedrunning category, all of that, because as you can see, there's the leaderboard at the end of each level. I was on the leaderboard once when the game didn't come out. That was like the only time I could make it to leaderboard. Because people are crazy and they're like finishing the levels in seconds, and like they break the physics so they can end up launching the hand around and like finishing the level earlier. So there's quite a bit of challenge in the game and like skill that is very, like, it's really good to earn and to feel like you earn it. And also, I have seen that it's a very fun game to play if you're with friends. There's this gameplay that a YouTuber called C-Top played with his friend Chris, Simple Chris, and it's hilarious. And they were very kind to let us like use their gameplay to put it on TikTok and our Steam page. And basically, there were the two of them playing around making hand puns. And like, we had this idea of like, this game is like very fun to play with another person in that sense. So yeah, it's one of those games that like you can just be messing around while you're playing. It's yeah.
And I'm curious, will this game be released for PC only, or is it going to be consoles as well, or what is the plan for the launch? Or I think it's already out, isn't it?
It's already out. It came out on September 21st.
Yeah.
For the moment, I'm not sure. For now, it's just on Steam and on Nintendo Switch. We will have to see in the future it comes to other consoles. But yeah, for the moment, we have it there, and I personally prefer to play it. I love to play it in mode, but I always said this to the developer. I have very not the moment, but I used to have very long nails, so I messed up in the keyboard the whole time. So like playing on the Switch for me was way more comfortable. I mean, I could play on PC with a controller, but I don't have a controller. Yeah, it will be nice. We can put it in more consoles. For the moment, it's standby.
Cool. They should add a long nail mode to the game so you can be taller or jump higher or something.
Yeah, especially in hard mode, play with long nails.
Yeah, exactly.
And you can actually play a hard mode with every game you play. You have long nails. Like, I swear to God, I cannot play anything.
I was wondering, I noticed when... So this was the beef I had with the animation in the beginning, because then it... The value of the game is bumped up in my mind. Like, wow, this is high production stuff. When I died, for example, from getting hit by a blade or fire, there was no animation that he was actually bursting me into flames or cutting my fingers off. And then I was thinking, because Oda Yu praised the game for having this attention to detail, and I thought those were quite obvious ones, that you would cut your fingers off when you walk over a blade. But then I was thinking, if it has something to do with ESRB, like, it should be a child-friendly game, maybe?
I actually don't know. I could actually talk to him and ask him about it. I can tell you that showing... It could maybe... I think it had to do with the rating, in the sense of, you know, like... If you don't show blood in your game, the better. Because I can tell you right now, because we are trying to like submit some of the games to Nintendo and Xbox and all of that, by just one drop of blood, it changes from everyone to teen. It's not even like E plus 10. No, it changes everything. This is like just my opinion. I don't know the real reason. Maybe it can be like resources, or just he just like the spoof. But I can tell you that maybe like chopping the fingers off or something like that, actually like it could be maybe too violent and it could probably not be worth the problem that it's going to cause ahead. So maybe that will be my, I mean, because when they also like, they grab, the feet grab your arm, there's no blood. It's just a straight clean cut. They just separate it. And when it gets together again, it's just like a clean backup. And yeah, I think it's just PG, in my opinion. Because it can get very nasty.
Yeah. Leaving a blood trail behind and slithering around and like.
Well, maybe some mother will mod the game in the future and just change the animations. Who knows?
I hope they don't, because now I cannot give my image from there.
So, do you know how long it took to develop this game from like idea stage to releasing it? If it was a long time, I mean, it is for being a single developer, it's really professional looking, I think. And you know, I can imagine that there's a lot of things that has to be done just to make it work and so on. So, do you know about how the journey was or how long?
It was around 1 year and a half, basically. The story behind the game is pretty funny. The developer, Ian, actually, like, is also responsible of the game moving out and moving out too. And for this new game, he didn't know, like, he said that he always likes to have a main character which is very outstanding. In example, for moving out, you have like this little car that takes like the furniture. So that's like interesting. And for Super Adventure Hand, he said that he didn't know which character he wanted to do. So he just saw his hand and was like, I'm going to use my hand literally for this at the moment. And then he just liked it and stick with it. And that's like the beauty in the what's behind the hand. I just liked it. I just like use it in the meantime, and then I just stick to it.
Nice.
It reminds me a little bit about, I don't know if this is a real story or not, but I've heard that when they did Portal, the game from Valve, that usually they have some sort of philosophy or something connected to the story of the game, and then they sort of asked everyone, you know, does anyone have an idea of what we can center this game Portal around? And then nobody could just think of anything. And then somebody said, like, well, everyone likes cake or something like that. And then they used that as sort of the theme for, or the unofficial theme for the game. So it's sort of funny that just looking at your hand and then making a great product out of it.
Yeah, sometimes like the best ideas come from very interesting places. So like another example that I have of another game, Lonesome Village, another game we support. The idea of the coyote came from the developer. He was watching The Simpsons and he saw the episode where Homer is speaking to a coyote in the sky, and he was like, that's it. Like, that's going to be my main character. And when we tell them the story, they're like, oh, really? That's the story? Yeah, that's the story.
Cool. And could you tell us, how did this developer come to you at Bright Gambit? Like, what was the initial like point of contact or how? Because I'm like imagining for our listeners, if you have like a similar great game that perhaps you developed yourself and you want something like a similar journey to what this game has achieved, like how do you start and how do you go from there, so to speak?
Okay, so the actual story of this game, I cannot tell you because I was not there. I had never arrived to the... When I arrived, the game was pretty almost done. But I can tell you what the process is. You basically, it's very simple. You have the idea of your game and it has to be advanced enough for you to have a pitch deck and a demo of the game. It can be like simple enough, but at least like a playable demo of your game that is actually like very close to the final product, and then like you submit it with how much do you need and like the explanation of why and where it will be going and like estimated date of release, all of that, and then like the team check it. Like there's like a meeting each time, and they check it, and if they like it or not, they will like communicate with you. So naturally, we have a lot of like people reaching out, but we cannot like support all of them. So there has to be like a choosing. Mm. So yeah, it's pretty much you go to brightgambit.com, and there's a place in the page, very simple to understand, that you can just submit your game there.
Yeah, and could you just give us a for those who are new to this whole thing, so a pitch deck, what would you say is included in that, or what exactly is it, and how do you make one?
Okay, basically a pitch deck is different than a presentation pitch. I learned this the hard way. Like if you have to actually like talk to people, you have to be fast. Like I was in those events and they were like barely have any words on it, you have to run because you have like 3 minutes to give your pitch. But no, a pitch deck, you actually have to make a very pretty, interesting PowerPoint-like presentation, but it's going to be read, you're not going to present it. And you have to have information there, like, of course, what is your game about? What are the mechanics? That's very important. What are the mechanics? Some background in the art. Who is the team? And the like the most business part, like how much money have you spent on it, how much do you need, the process time to apply, like how long it's going to take in an ideal time to put the game out there, the resources, where are they going, all of that. So it's pretty much selling your game. It's a document, like a slide type document, so you can like sell your game and also present, hey, I need this. And like content, yeah, and all of that, yeah.
Right.
You said I tried to write down as you were talking. I forgot the first 2 points, I think. But then you said mechanics, who is the team, how long to get it ready, what's the resources needed, and so on. It sounds like a lot of it is about money and well, the corporate part of game development, in a way.
I would say actually it's just like a 30% part of it. Maybe I forgot to put details, but like the main thing you have to say is talk about your game. Like basically try to say why your game is great. Like not only the, like, oh, my game has these mechanics and like why my game is great. Oh, because it has this story, it has these characters, is, you know, like trying to sell it, this is the art style, like trying to find the key points, the most interesting things, trying to make it as pretty as possible, like easy to read and all of that. And that's the thing we're going to be looking more. Also like putting there your estimated public. Also like, oh, it's like an adventure game for kids like 10 to 35. Like it's more about that. Like first we look if we like the game and all that is, and then at the end there's like details that actually those details can be talked later if you don't have it clear, because it's pretty fair to be like, I honestly don't know how much I need, so that's also fair. But yeah, it's more about the game actually. It's more about like showing your game.
Alright. And the demo, so would that have to be like a vertical slice where you show off most of what the game is, something like a demo that you would have on Steam, something like that ready to be able to present it to Bright Gambit? Or would it just require something like a single level where it shows off some part of the game? Or at what level would you say is appropriate?
I mean, for the ones that I have seen, I think something that is enough, like a build that is polished enough that is not going to crash and that is going to run, and it doesn't have to be super big, because like I said, there's like a lot of games that have to be checked, but like a build that is enough, that will be like the word, like enough that maybe sell a single level or something like that, a very interesting part of a game that catches you, Like if I had to say something to the events I have said, is that in my experience, you have to leave the player like in a hand cliff, I think is how you
cliffhanger.
I was close. Cliffhanger. Like something that they're like,
it's probably called a hand cliff in the Super Adventure Handle.
Maybe it's that. Maybe it's because I have the hand puns in my head like right away. I was going to say hangover, but like imagine how I am. So yeah, it's pretty much enough. Like we have had demos that last 45 minutes and demos that last 15, 20. It depends on the game.
I gotta ask, I'm working on a game that will be quite close to that coyote thing. And I'm quite curious, like if you were to, now you were not there when the hand game, Super Adventure Hand came in, but I can imagine that pitch is like an adventure speedrunning friendly game where you're a hand and you just need to see like 2 seconds of gameplay and you get it. Like, oh, this is awesome. But how, like, what I'm struggling with myself is like in this world of so many live sim games or farming sims, I didn't quite get what the coyote game was about, but sort of like Stardew Valley. Like, that kind of pitch must be way more than the hand game in terms of trying to sell you the idea of the coyote game, for example, because there's a lot of these farming sims, for example, and that demo that he would have to show to Bright Gambit. So that vertical slice he would have to show must have been, it's a huge game. I haven't played the coyote game per se, but I can imagine there's a lot of mechanics underneath, and like when you plant stuff and things are growing and talking to NPCs, there's so much there. Like it's basically like an RPG. How do you sell that kind of game? And how long would you guys play the game before you make up your minds if it's worth it or not?
Well, I can actually answer that question very well because I was behind the Coyote game like almost the whole time, and I was part of the making the pitch. So, and I actually like had to go to events, and I'm happy to say that I won the Arctic Week pitch contest on 2021, I think. So I did a good job.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Basically, with that game, it was hard because, as you said, a lot of people were like, there's a lot of competition in the whole life sim style cutesy thingy. So basically what we have to advertise more than anything is that the game, like the biggest selling point of the game, is that it's a fusion between life sim and adventure, like a Zelda type life sim, and that's harder to find. Like it's not really like Stardew Valley. Like yes, you could like you had your garden and you could fish and all of that, but it was not exactly like that. It was more into there's a story and you have to adventure and you have puzzles. So it was more focused in the whole puzzle solving aspect. And so to give you like a brief pitch, you're a coyote, you go to a village. The village is pretty much like a ghost town. And there's like this big tower that everyone is locked in. So it's like two games in one. You go into the tower and you make puzzles like Zelda style dungeon. And when you get tired of it or the game makes you stop, you have to go out and have the life sim. So it's like having two games in one. So that was like the selling point to be like, okay, this is not your average game. You have also this. With the hand, it was easier because like you're a hand. What else do you need to know?
See.
Cool.
You said you helped with the pitch and won a pitch award. Like, were you involved with the game? Or yeah. I thought the developers would make the pitch.
Yeah. The thing is, that game, Lonesome Village, I worked with that company before I worked at Bright Gambit.
Ah, that's the one you worked with. I see.
I worked with them. I was the producer assistant and PR. And when the game was done, the Bright Gambit like reach out to me to I can move. So my job right now is different than back then. Right, now I don't do anything like that. I do the whole thing about finding the market and all of that and helping push. But like in the other, my other job, like that's I actually had to be like behind everything behind the game.
I see. Cool.
Yeah, all right. So I think since we're approaching 1 hour, unless Rune, you have something else, I think we're going to start closing the episode.
Well, as usual, as soon as we hang up, I will have a couple more questions. But
you happen to have...
Yeah, but...
thank you.
All right. So I think since we're approaching 1 hour of content, I thank you so much, Sarah, for being with us and telling us all about Bright Gambit, yourself, and the game. And I think also I would like to, if you could plug all of the stuff that you want to, for example, of Bright Gambit, Super Adventure Hand, if you want to promote anything yourself or whatever it might be. So just give it your all, basically.
Perfectly. It's sponsor time then. Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
Sponsor time. So you can follow Bright Gambit at Twitter, at TikTok. Those are like the main ones. Like, I love to be there. And on Instagram, it's Bright Gambit, like Bright, and Gambit, like Queen's Gambit. On YouTube too, we are about, yes, like pretty much all social media. The developer of the game is on Twitter as ZWarp. His name is Ian, and he's great. He's like constantly like showing new stuff about the game. And when he's developing something new, like that's like his main social media. He pretty much doesn't have any other. So yeah, that's a really good one to go. And mine is SGagebird, I think. I do believe. On Twitter too. Or X or whatever it is, if we are going to be there in a couple of months, because you never know. And like every 2 days we're like, oh my god, let's leave. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah. And if you want support, you can play the demo and the free demo, but also you can buy it. I think it's at $12. I bought it. Well, I didn't buy it, but like in Mexico, I don't have USD dollars, so I don't know exactly how much it costs in dollars. But I think the game is like $12. It's pretty cheap. And actually, right now we're in the Halloween sale, so it's even cheaper. So wow. I think 25%. So if you want to get it, there's like a new collection of hats, like Halloween hats and Christmas and like spooky things and fun. So you can also get all that. And yeah, that's it.
Cool.
Great. And again, thank you so much for doing this episode. And as usual, we will make sure to put all of the links and things we talk about in this episode in the description. So whichever platform you're listening to this on, just check the description usually below and you will find it all. What else? Yeah, again, I think really interesting. Mm. And as we say to all of our guests, you are most welcome back if you have more games to talk about and more things to talk about, because you are a very interesting guest. So
thank you.
I really look forward to that.
Thank you. And thanks for having me.
All right. So I think that does it for this episode. And yeah, a little bit of self-promotion for this podcast as well. So as usual, if you have any comments or anything like that, if you have any guests that you would like to have us on, that you would like us to have on the podcast, please just let us know if there's any thoughts or opinions you have. And yeah, you could also, I really hope that somebody can send us a voice message, because you can do that on Spotify. So if you can do that, that would be really funny. So we'll see. I cross my fingers for it. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's it. So thank you again so much, Sarah, for being our guest. Thank you so much, Rune, for being my amazing co-host, as always. Thank you, listener, for listening all this way, and we will see you next Wednesday. So stay tuned. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
Bye.